right. Welcome to Highly Questionable. We have the swole Israel Gutierrez. We have the suave Sarah Spain. I'm just in the middle with a bunch of hair.
Happy New Year, Izzy.
James Harden is in the midst of a bad breakup with the Rockets. Do you think now is the time to trade him for a hefty offer?
All right, the Rockets are 3-6. They are now 3-6 after they got their doors blown off by the Lakers last night. Now, we knew when the season started that James Harden did not really want to play for the Rockets, but he still plays for the Rockets. Now, this is what he had to say after the game about the state of affairs with the team.
We're just not good enough. We don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. They just, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive, veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
He wants to be out of there so badly, right? Like, that's a dude who didn't even check out because he never checked in on his team. Like, what he's saying there is basically, we're not good enough, which is the story that he was given in the offseason, that we are not good enough. But the Rockets have no incentive to actually trade him until they get an offer that is legitimately hefty and is one that they actually want to take. But if I'm James Harden, I would like them to trade me as soon as possible, because John Wall, after the game, had to say, I don't really understand how you jump off a cliff after 9 games. Because one thing about John Wall that you may not know if you haven't paid that close attention to his game and his career, he's not the dude for what James Harden is over there doing. Like, this is a cat that's going to go hard every single game. At some point, the dudes that are there stuck with James Harden are going to get sick of this. And I don't think they're going to take it out on management. They're going to take it out on James Harden.
So what's disappointing to me is it just, and this is just confirmation of everything that I thought from the beginning, that James Harden just doesn't think that they as a whole are obviously a good enough team, which means he doesn't believe that he is enough to lead this team to a championship level. He's saying right there, I don't want to put in the effort to find the chemistry with this team because I've done it before, and that ends with us losing in the Western Conference Finals. I'm tired of losing to the Lakers. So what's disappointing is he wants to go to a ready-made team. He wants to go to a team that says, hey, it doesn't have to revolve around me, when for years now he's been saying, hey, I kind of like when the world revolves around me. So it's just further confirmation. He probably should get out of there, but I'm with you, Bo. This does not help with the leverage situation. It does not help you think that this is a guy who wants to dig in and go to work for an entire season. So again, losing leverage there. Every time he says something like this, it probably means he's going to stay with the Rockets a little bit longer.
First of all, how awesome would it be if at every press conference, any team who plays like the Bucks or the Lakers afterward would be like, we're not good enough. We don't have enough talent. There was no chance we were going to win this game. But he wasn't being honest in this case, because they could be good enough. And he was sabotaging them before the season even began. So for him to say, we don't have the talent, this was before the John Wall trade. This was before any pieces got moved. If he had said, I want to be here and I want to be great, that roster would look different. He didn't say that. He wanted out before they made any moves. And to Izzy's point, it sounds like he wants to go somewhere where he can depend on other people to be the superstars, the Nets, the Bucks, right? Where he's not the number one guy. He wants to play like the number one and get touches and dribbles and shots like the number one, but he doesn't want the responsibility, because then in elimination games, when he forgets how to basketball and can't hit the broadside of a barn, it's on him. And apparently he's sick of that. And he could say all he wants, I did everything I could for this team. You didn't. Because they kept putting money into the team. They kept making the moves that you wanted, and it never resulted in you advancing beyond a certain point, which seemed to be limited by your own investment and your own play. As for whether they should get rid of him, it's clear that they should. But both, my only problem with waiting for that big deal is, how much of this season are you willing to sacrifice with that chemistry issue that you talked about, where everyone's turning on him, with the fact that John Wall also said it's kind of hard to get stuff done when somebody isn't in, right? When you've got your other counterpart that's not in. I would at least wait till February 6th when the roster restrictions come up, because it's going to be easier to get the right pieces. I don't know if I wait until you get that perfect deal anymore, because it's just going to get uglier from here.
What do you make of Kyrie Irving's Zoom appearance yesterday?
Like, what do we make of anything that Kyrie Irving does? In this case, who was it, Sarah? Was it Cynthia Nixon? That's the woman on Sex and the City who ran for governor.
She was involved, but the actual political candidate was someone else. But yeah.
Okay, so the candidate was someone else. The screen grab that I saw of it was Kyrie Irving, who called himself Kai, K-A-I Irving, in the Zoom. There's no A in his name. But anyway, he's sitting in the Zoom, and he's just posted up, and they're there, and they're talking politics. And I want to be fair to Kyrie Irving on this one, right? Being able to play in a basketball game is not the same thing as being able to post up on a Zoom, right? It is entirely possible that he cannot, for whatever reason, play basketball, but is also capable of popping in on the Zoom. The thing is, we don't really know why the dude isn't playing, right? And it doesn't really sound like the Nets know why the dude isn't playing, right? We haven't gotten any sort of leaks or anything. And Izzy, you talk to people in the NBA. Nobody's really got chatter that implies that they fully understand what it is, why he's doing this in the first place. And so as a result, every time we wind up seeing him, it makes you ask more questions because we know so very little about why it is that he's not playing. So he's probably going to have to go into some quarantine because he was at the birthday party that his family had the other day, and all this stuff is getting a little bit kooky, but this is the Kyrie Irving experience that the Nets signed up for. Whether or not it's his fault, this is how it seems to go.
Yeah, if you want to discuss this in a vacuum and be disingenuous about it, then you say, well, if he's already at home and wouldn't be allowed to play because of quarantine, then why can't he be on a political Zoom? Well, because we have no idea why he's not playing, because it's not happening in a vacuum, because he has not communicated with his coach or his team or the fans or the media or anyone about how we went from we think he's sitting out because of what happened at the Capitol to he's at a birthday party making zero effort whatsoever to hide from cameras or not be seen maskless in a club indoors during a pandemic with many people while not communicating with his team to not making an effort to not be seen on a political Zoom. This dude wants to be seen. Why? I have no idea. Why he's sitting out, I have no idea. Why he continues to make us question what's going on when he is the dude who is always telling us he doesn't want to be misunderstood or misrepresented, I don't know. This would all be fixed by him being a mature, professional adult who communicates what's going on and why, but that ain't gonna happen. But at some point, you gotta draw the line for a multi-million dollar adult who wants us to believe he's the smartest person in the room and is not proving it at all these days.
You know, Bo said something, he used the words, I want to be fair to Kyrie Irving. And I do too. It just feels like we don't have enough information to be fair to Kyrie Irving. We could find out a few months from now, he's been doing incredible work and, you know, maybe he's been the Maya Moore of the NBA. Well, and this is something that Stephen A. said, by the way, today, you know, Maya Moore didn't play while she was doing her work. So Stephen A. said Kyrie should retire because if that's the case, he's putting other things ahead of basketball. And that's what's important to me here, because I understand that Kyrie Irving doesn't need basketball. I understand he doesn't need the public. He doesn't need our adoration. But there is a reason why he is in the public eye, and there's a reason why people love him. It's because he dove into this craft and became as good as he is, as entertaining as he is. And while it may or may not be fair, if you are not showing off your craft, if you are not still the reason that they fell in love with you in the first place, then many of your messages might fall on deaf ears. So you kind of have to balance that. And this is why I wonder if that marriage with Kevin Durant is actually as real or as good as we thought it was initially, because Kevin Durant clearly wants to ball first. And Kyrie Irving apparently does not want to. So it just makes you wonder how this is going to play out. And, you know, if it is something as severe as, hey, I'm just going to sit out when things that are going on in this country upset me, then yeah, I'm with Stephen A. Maybe basketball shouldn't be on his, you know, on his agenda this year.
Well, I will say this, just based on my readings of the newspapers and everything else, it sounds like he's going to be taking a week off every month. The world be popping all the time, dog. It right. gets to popping all the time. This is the uncomfortable truth of it, right? Not saying that these actions are the same, the circumstances are the same, whatever. But to your boss, there's no difference between I need to sit out because I want to go save the world. Then that time Ron Artest said he wanted to sit out because he wanted to go promote his rap album. It's not about what you're doing. It's about the fact that it ain't basketball. But what are the Nets going to do? And what is poor Kevin Durant going to do? That dude came back off an Achilles tear, scoring 30 points a game, and this is what came with it. But you knew, you knew who that dude was before.
Up next on HQ.
Like, I would love to get that call if I'm Eric Bieniemy. Hey, you think you want to come down? Hello. We were going to give you an interview.
How should Deshaun Watson feel about the Texans' decision to now interview Eric Bieniemy?
All right, so you may have heard that part of the tension between Deshaun Watson and the Texans is that he had some suggestions and thoughts on who it was that they should interview for the GM position and the head coach position, and the Texans asked him for his input and then disregarded it. One of the ways they disregarded it was he thought they should interview Eric Bieniemy, which I have to say, not the most insightful observation from Deshaun Watson, because we think anybody would do that, except the Texans didn't do that, right? So then once they went bad, they said, hey, let's ask Eric Bieniemy for an interview. Small problem. They could have done it during the Chiefs bye week, but now that they're back in action, that kind of counts as tampering. So now they can't interview him. And what Deshaun Watson should feel is what he apparently already knew. I work for morons, right? Like that's the place where he is in. That's how it has to feel. And there's nothing like when you look around and you realize the people in charge here are morons, or at the very least, just not people you want to work with. Andre Johnson, the greatest Houston Texan of all time, known for being a quiet, stoic sort of guy. He got on the tweets to say that everything has gone bad since Jack Easterby, the chaplain turned team runner, got there, right? That dude hadn't sent a tweet that wasn't an advertisement for Crown Royal since 2019. He was that charged up to say something about Jack Easterby. You are stuck there, dude. I don't know how Deshaun Watson is going to get himself out of that situation, but he should feel awful because the team is awful. The situation is awful. The draft situation is awful. It's just a whole lot of awful.
He should feel pretty good that some of this stuff is just getting exposed, because the stories that are out there are just about Jack Easterby trying to save his job and then sneaking in last minute to get Caserio the GM position. All that feels like somebody just looking out for himself and not for the betterment of a team or a franchise. And when you have everybody else, including Andre Johnson, wasn't he the only person in their ring of honor? The only person in their ring of honor, speaking about the franchise like this, when you have all these people backing you up, and that you just sit back and you accept all that and you say, I'm glad I'm exposing all of this. Now, maybe they have to get rid of me because of what I've done here. Because, I mean, if this is the case, if this is a situation where they're all going to say, hey, we did the right thing, Deshaun Watson is in the wrong here, it looks like we have evidence of the contrary. So they might want to just get rid of him before he gives up a little bit more information.
Apologizing for looking at notes, but I don't want to miss any of this. Okay, first, you know, Bob McNair says inmates are running the asylum. Okay, this is where we start to, maybe not all of us start, but many of us start to wonder what kind of culture is going on with this team. DeAndre Hopkins gets traded. They fire the VP of communications because she's not a culture fit, while all the reporters and players that she works with directly are publicly and loudly screaming about how wonderful she is and what kind of culture you got over there if she's not a fit for it. Then you've got massive story about Easterby's reputation as a manipulative, ambitious person who is infiltrating and stealing power from people that are above him. And then you get lying to Deshaun. So we're at a position now where the entire team seems so toxic that we're going to react to whether they interview Eric Bieniemy when we should be asking about the deeper roots of problems within this team and why not only DeAndre Hopkins, but Arian Foster, Kareem Jackson, DJ Reader, Dwayne Brown, Sage Rosenfels, and Ed Reed are all tweeting about the Texans' culture issues and why Watson should be getting out of there. Who we haven't heard from is JJ Watt, which is an interesting one for me because he is the second best player in the history of that team. He is someone that we heard on tape apologizing to Deshaun Watson for wasting his great season, but we have not yet heard whether he thinks there's a culture issue here or whether Deshaun Watson is right in what he's saying.
And Eric Bieniemy's so good, he's going to fix it all.
By not going there. About it.
Like, I would love to get that call if I'm Eric Bieniemy. Hey, you think you want to come down? Hello. We were going to give you an interview.
More surprising decision. The Seahawks firing Brian Schottenheimer or the Bears retaining Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace?
All right, so this is a little bit of a tricky question for me because the surprise always is when somebody hires Brian Schottenheimer, even though I understand that Brian Schottenheimer is one of those dudes because I've heard of his daddy that is always going to have a job. But that Seattle offense went bad after the first month. We went from talking about letting Russ cook and him being the MVP to Russ looking bad and the rest of the offense looking bad. And so Pete Carroll wants to get a little bit better on the ground, which is normally why you bring in Brian Schottenheimer, but he couldn't get that right. He's out of there, okay? But the Bears, I mean, I kind of understand why they're keeping the party going, right? They got it back together by the end of the year. I had times where I watched Trubisky and I said, I don't know if he's good, but at least he looked like he would have been a first round pick. And I understood why it was that they did it. He's had the job 3 years. They made the playoffs twice. It's not that surprising that he got to keep the job. Izzy, you go while Sarah stops fuming.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave a lot of that Chicago meat on there. But look, I being down here in Miami, playoffs aren't something we are very familiar with, at least not in the second half of my lifetime. So, yeah, the guy's made the playoffs a couple times in his coaching career. Probably not a surprise that they hang on to him. On the Seattle side, I'm not surprised either if you pay attention to it. They went to that run-heavy offense the last couple of years. This year, they start off the first 10 weeks of the season. They're throwing it more than anybody, and all of a sudden, you see how they sort of tapered off toward the end of the season. The interesting part about that is, though, with DK Metcalf out there, it seems like Russell Wilson has a second weapon there, and they should be passing a little bit more. So I'm not sure if they should go to that run-heavy offense, but you could clearly see the breakup happening between those two.
Okay, hey, yeah, Seahawks, they'll figure it out. Feeling? Yeah, that whatever. The Seahawks will figure it out. Let Russ cook. He's going to microwave a TV dinner by the end of the season. The point of the Bears is this. This. That's what they're saying right now. This is fine while the Flames are surrounding the building. This little guy, this is fine, sitting in the fire, okay? This is exactly what we were worried about happening if they backdoored their way into an expanded playoffs because some other team couldn't finish. An 8-8 team should not be backing their way into expanded playoffs. That an offensive coach who was hired because he's an offensive genius was mostly actually depending on Vic Fangio making that defense so great. Did you watch the second half of that Saints game? Taylor Heinicke, who is the fourth string quarterback for the WTFs, and I know it's WFTs, I'm saying it that way on purpose. The fourth string quarterback for that team was infinitely better and more effective than supposedly the starter for the Bears and Mitch Trubisky in that offense. And it's not just on Mitch. The play calling was atrocious. The use of personnel was pathetic. And the fact that Mitch is even in there is Pace's fault. So we can't draft, but we're going to keep the guy that does the drafts. We can't get anything done on offense, but we're going to keep the guy that's doing the play calling and then pretends to give it away but really takes it back because we know it's you doing it, Matt. We can tell which plays are yours. This is so stupid. The Bears are willing to just sit in the mud of mediocrity because they're too scared to make a change. And guess what? They're probably going to run it back with Mitch and Nick Foles again. We don't deserve this. All we have is 1985, and I wasn't old enough to appreciate it. We're a real big city with a franchise that helped start this league. What are we doing?
Do you question if it's the thought that counts?
All right, we are going out to a college basketball broadcast. On one side, Peter Burns, the SEC Network. On the other side, a dude named Tom Hart.
And first half analysis. Now, I kind of want to know a little bit more about Tom Hart's dog, Larry, actually.
Well, we had to put him down a few weeks ago, Peter. Thanks for asking. It's an awkward part of the conversation, but John, you got tennis shoes behind you, and that's a lot more entertaining.
Yeah, I do feel like lying was an option there. So how's your dog? Yeah. You know, been about the same. Right? Let's leave it at that. No need for all that discussion on TV. And to be honest, why don't you ask him about like his children? How about that? People. Humans.
Oh, Bomani, you and your hatred of dogs is so tired.
I don't hate dogs. I think you people are ridiculous about it.
Well, for me, I couldn't lie about that on TV because people would then ask why the Fletch and Banks Instagram hadn't been updated recently. And they would say, wait, your dog's still alive. Why haven't we gotten any pictures on the Instagram? And then the lie would unravel, you know?
Yeah.
Just to be clear, when I say you people, my brother's dog got one of them accounts too.
Yeah, they follow each other.
I would like to point out that this is not the first time that we've learned one of these things the hard way on Highly Questionable. No.
Well, and then there's one gone but not forgotten, and that's our sweet Lucy. At the age of 12, she was run over in our driveway.
Like that? Was she run over like that?
Was she run over like that? Give that man a raise.
Tonight in the NBA, Lakers and Thunder.
Yeah, the Lakers are doing what they call it, running roughshod over the NBA. That is what we got right now. They beat the brakes off the Rockets last night. Like, look at this thing LeBron James does where he decides to get his Steph Curry on. Corner, LeBron. Make sure shots up. Turns. Yes. Got it. Now, why did he do that? Tell him, LeBron.
My teammate, hit me with a bet on the sideline, and I was I took the bet while I was still shooting the ball. So, you know, a bet isn't official until you look a man in the eye. So I had to look him into the eye, and I was able to win that one. He said, bet you won't make it. And in order to make a bet official, you either got to have a handshake or you got to look a man in the eye. So he said, bet it. And I turned around, looked him in the eye, and I said, bet it.
This is what's happening to you, Rockets. They out here taking side bets on while they're beating the brakes off of you. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I'm very much intrigued because those are a couple of rosters that are not, down to 8 or 9 players because of COVID. So I'm definitely going to watch those teams. I was going to try to do the same thing here, but I've got these like wired headphones and see if I could like sort of end the segment like this.
But it's not the same. Not. You need a bench, man. You need a bench.
Right?
Nah, Sarah, you intrigued. You
go, Sarah. I'm intrigued by like what it would feel like even for one day to be that awesome. Bo, what does it feel like?
Got to say, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. Mm-hmm. However, it is pretty liberating when you do something like that. Now, what have I done that was like that?
Because I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, sorry, Izzy. I was going to ask you about the swag, but you don't have it.
All right, that is the show. Check Israel Gutierrez out all over fine ESPN property. Sarah Spain, that's what she said. It's a podcast. It's a joke. See? Get it? Get it?
Wait, the podcast or that's what she
said? You tell me.
Did you guys know that the NHL season starts tonight?
Yes. And did you know that it's like 116 straight days of hockey games starting tonight? Isn't that exciting? No?
No, it's not.